Lecture 1. Ideologies of Political Obedience.
This is a course about the political and social history of Europe during the early modern period, or the 16th and the 17th centuries. And I think that maybe a natural place to begin is by asking ourselves, well, what is this early modern period? Because after all, as an historical era, it's a period of relatively recent coinage. Historians dreamed it up in the 1950s. It violates the older sequence of the Middle Ages, the Renaissance, the Reformation, the Age of Reason, and the Enlightenment. And I think we do need to ask ourselves, why should this be a period unto itself? What is distinctive about the 16th and the 17th and very early 18th centuries? And what I would argue is that what is distinctive about this period is its turbulence, and turbulence of a very particular kind. There are the usual wars of conquest that would be seen before and after the 16th and 17th centuries, but what is striking about this era is the frequency and the intensity of internal conflict. Between 1500 and 1700, Europe would see an extremely bitter civil war in France, another bitter civil war in England, an extraordinarily long revolt against the monarch of the Netherlands, a truly apocalyptic civil war in Germany, usually called the Holy Roman Empire, which ended up killing a far higher proportion of civilians than died in World War II, and decades of almost constant rioting against the central government in France. And if we look to the fates of the individual monarchs in this era, we see another striking pattern. Philip II of Spain, Henry III of France, Henry IV of France, Ferdinand II of the Holy Roman Empire, Charles I of England, James II of England. What do they all have in common? They were all either deposed or killed by their own subjects. It seems to me, therefore, that these facts point to an intense and often bitter discussion about the nature of the early modern state, and that discussion is focused chronologically within the 16th and 17th centuries between the mid-16th and the mid-17th centuries, and that is therefore going to be the chronological focus of our course here. Geographically, this course will be primarily concerned with Western and with Central Europe, much less so with Eastern Europe. There are really two reasons for this. One, quite frankly, is logistical. The overwhelming majority of the historical research that's been done focuses on Western and Central Europe. But the second reason, which is perhaps intellectually a little bit more legitimate, is that that's where the turbulence is. Almost all of the intense assassinations of monarchs, civil wars, tyrannicide sort of thing, takes place in Western and Central Europe. Now, if we're going to talk about the state, I think it's also worth highlighting at the very beginning the fact that the state, as distinct from something like simple kingship, was a relatively new phenomenon in the 16th century. We often take the idea of a state more or less completely for granted, or we treat it as a natural phenomenon, something that ought to be produced by the march of history. And I think it's very important to see the state as an historically specific institution, and in many respects actually a very peculiar and odd institution. Just to give you one example which illustrates how odd our modern notions of the state would have been to the 17th century mind, let's take King Charles I of England. In 1649, Charles I would be put on trial for treason. Charles defends himself very eloquently, as it turns out, and he points out that in English law, up to this point, treason was defined as disloyalty against the monarch. And Charles was completely right about this. And so there was a sense in which putting the king on trial for treason made no sense whatsoever. Well, the Rump Parliament, which was the body putting him on trial, disagreed, and Charles lost the argument, and he also lost his head. So I think even in this one single example, we can see that the state is a problematic institution in the early modern period. It is taking on partial form, it's still inchoate, and above all, its emergence is inescapably linked with intense conflict at all levels of society. So if the early modern period is distinctive for the decisive emergence of this institution, the modern state, which we now take for granted, I think we do also have to ask ourselves the question, why is all the turmoil, why is all the carnage all that interesting? I mean, I suppose we could say, well, carnage is inherently interesting, and I don't think that's a justification for an entire course. I think that it's worth suggesting that this kind of civil war, this kind of internal turmoil, reveals an awful lot about many things. It reveals an awful lot about the distribution of power within a society. It reveals a lot about the relationship between those who govern and those who are governed. It reveals an awful lot about the nature of ideology and the relationship of ideology to practice, to statecraft, if you will. This course, therefore, is going to look at the early modern state from four distinct but related perspectives. First of all, we're going to look at ideologies, ideologies of order, how people justified submission, cooperation, obedience to the state, and ideologies of disorder. How did people justify disobeying the state, disagreeing with the king, removing the king, even killing the king? Second of all, we're going to look at the social foundations of political turbulence. Who are the sides here? Is this a matter of the rich versus the poor? Is this a class struggle? Is this a battle between ins and outs? Where are the fault lines, if you will, in these societies?